Well, happy Father's Day. Bobby Candy, it's so good to have you back. And I just welcome all of you here today. I would like anyone who's hosting a Bass student and Keith and Chelsea to come up here right now, if you would. Okay? Anyone who's hosting a Bass student and Keith and Chelsea. Tate is working today, and he's our elder who's in charge of this ministry. If you, during this month, when the Bass students are here, would like to just have a group over for a picnic or take them somewhere to do something, talk to either Chelsea or Tate, okay? I want to pray for you all. This is not new territory for most of you, but it is for Chelsea, and she's going to be our frontline person here. She's going to be what we call the mentor. And we know not specifically who these kids are, but we know generally who they are. And typically they're pretty well-to-do kids that they can come over here and do this and pay the money for this trip. Almost without fail, they are part of a group called a quadria, which becomes their most important social unit. And it's not their family. It's their friends. This is how they do it over there. And their understanding of Jesus would be very, very, very small. And so that's why we love to have them. We're still, and many of you are as well. We're still in touch with the girls that we've hosted and get messages from them all the time. And so it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. But you may have thought, well, I'm not a part of that. But you can be by just plugging in and saying, hey, I want to go to that event or I want to host that event. So that's open to you, okay? Let's pray. Lord, first of all, I thank you for Chelsea and her willingness to be your servant in a very specific way at this time. And I know that that's going to draw Keith in too. We have some guys coming, and so that's good. And so I just pray that you will empower them with a tenderness and a patience and a joy that is catching. That when these kids come here, they're going to think, you know, I've never really known anyone quite like you. And that's the kind of things we've heard. This is a new experience for them, to be around Christians. So we pray for them. Lord, I pray for every family represented here and the ones who aren't here who are hosting, that you would open their hearts, open their homes, give them generous and loving and, again, patient and courageous souls to know how and when to talk to these kids. And so we pray for the travelers who are coming over, give them traveling mercies. It takes courage to be this age and to come over and stay with someone you don't know. Lord, bless the entire event. Bless this church and raise us up again for this really an unusual ministry in all the world to reach these unreached people. So thank you, Lord. Bless this church, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, everybody. Well, welcome, and welcome to all our visitors. As Bob said, tomorrow I'm headed to Zurich, Switzerland, and I'll be picked up there by my daughter, and we talked to her at length yesterday, and we're just so excited to see her. And I'm going by myself. Now, I need to explain something about that. Last week was the week of passport frenzy in my life when I discovered that all the nations I was visiting, save one, my passport was just fine. But if you're going to Switzerland, your passport has to extend 6 months beyond the time you leave. Interesting. And so mine didn't. And so Off to Chicago I go. I'm not going to tell you how much it cost for me to be up there, but this is an expensive passport. And it was quite a thing. The whole process of going to the federal building, being part of a group of about, I would say, 300 people. Now, in a room about this size, this is about just right, with chairs, I want you to put 300 people in here. We were like sardines. We were rubbing against each other, and I had walked a couple miles to get there. It was hot and humid. And guys, you didn't want to be close to me. I didn't want to be close to me. It was, and in fact, when I got to the security lady, she says, "Is it raining outside?" And I said, "No, that is sweat." And I was soaked through, and my glasses were covered, my head. I've had heat stroke, and I think anytime now I get hot, away we go. And it was bad. And so it was a hard day. It was a long day. But everywhere I went during this day at the office, and so I'm talking about three people, security and two people at the, when you're turning in your paperwork and talking to people, every one of them asked me how I got there, and I said, "Well, I brought the train," and then they interrupted me and said, "Don't say the train." Okay, whatever. So the next person, how did you get here, sir? No, they said, "Where's Carlock?" And I said, "Well, it's a couple hours southwest, but I took the train." "Don't say the train." I had three people say that, "Don't say the train." What? Why not say the train? You know, it doesn't make any sense to me. And so the very last person in the afternoon, who's a different person than I've talked to, says to me, "You know, you have to stay here until we can give you your passport." And I said, "Well, what time is that?" And they said, "About 4. And what I wanted to say is, "But my train leaves at 1:45. But I can't say the train. And so I had to just, okay, that's the way it is. And so then I had to take another train. And I'm a country mouse. I'm not a city mouse. We sang this morning about the masses. I spent maybe 3 hours sitting in this federal building looking out a window and just watching. It's right across from some important city of Chicago building that had limousines and limousine and limousine pulling up and very fancy people getting out all day. And I just watched this. And the masses, just the masses of people walking by. And I did have this thought. Does Jesus know all these people? And the Jesus we embrace, the Jesus we're taught about, the Jesus we have said can create a new world, he knows all these people. And so that was comforting to me, that even though I knew no one, and even though I'd taken the train, Jesus knew all these people, and that was good. So then, it had been a very taxing time, very taxing. And so I walked to the train station, and I'm feeling pretty blue. And there at the train station, I see Lorraine and Harvey Meister, who I believe were following me all day. No, they were there for a different purpose. But I say this because when I travel alone, first of all, my passport should say, "Do not let this person travel alone." There are books and movies about my alone travels. But when I see a friend or friends like I saw there, I thought, "Lord, you're with me. You're an encourager. Thank you." And so I sat on the train next to them, and it was like I was home. It was good. And so I'm headed tomorrow. I fly to Dublin. I have 8 hours in Dublin. I've never been to Ireland. And there are two things in Dublin I want to see. One is called the Book of Kells. Are you at all familiar with the Book of Kells? A very famous artsy spiritual book that's on display at Trinity College. And what I understand is every day they turn a page. Do you know about this? Have you ever seen this Book of Kells? It is fabulous, colorful, and ancient, 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 ancient. So I can go see that, or I can do a very culturally appropriate thing and go to the Guinness Brewery. So I put a vote out on the C.S. Lewis group, and the Book of Kells won. So we'll just see what happens here with this. So I'm going to be there for 8 hours, and then I fly to Zurich. And this all takes a long time. And Kristen will pick me up there. We'll be in Germany for 2 days. She lives in Germany. We'll be there for 2 days, and then we're flying back to Dublin. And then for until July 12th, we're suffering for the Lord in County Clare, Ireland, watching a house. It's called house sitting. It doesn't cost a penny to stay there because we are taking care of two corgis and a cat. And that's our payment to these people. And Kristen talked to the lady, Skyped yesterday, and she said the lady was so easygoing. And Kristen said, well, when should we feed them? Whenever they're hungry, don't worry about it. They're easy, you know. And so I'm just like, yes, yes. And this house is in the country. It's close to the bay. I may not come back. And it's all glorious. Sue will come over on July 3rd. And so I'll be without her for that time. And she can travel alone and do just fine. But I don't. But I'll miss her. But then we'll be in Ireland for until the 12th. And then back to Germany to be with Kristen's family. And then we'll be back here on July 22nd. So if you need to talk to someone about anything urgent or a spiritual matter, talk to any of the elders. All right? And I'll be reachable by email and so on. But I'm excited. We miss them so dreadfully. And now I'm already missing my family here because this is what I do. I get melancholy about going, and then I'll get melancholy about leaving there when it comes time. But that's all right. So I will appreciate your prayers. And I think of the very first time I ever went to Europe, and it was by myself. It was a business trip. I flew from Chicago to Frankfurt all night, didn't sleep a wink, because I'm not going to sleep on a plane because you don't want to hear what happens when I'm sleeping on a plane. And so I stayed awake, and I'm just whipped. And I have to fly from Frankfurt to Munich, but I have a little layover, and I haven't been outside for many hours, so I decide I need some fresh air. So I walk out the airport, sit down on a wall that was made of masonry. I sit down, I take a deep breath, and I am immediately stung by a wasp. 30 seconds into breathing Germany, I am wasp stung. And I thought, well, that's a nice welcome. And I was feeling sorry for myself. And so then I was to meet a man in Munich that I'd never met before, but he was the cousin of my business associate and good friend. But I also was like, I don't know if I know how to act around Germans because I'm not much of a drinker, and I know that they are, and I drink very little. And I was worried about that. I thought, man, if they expect me to be a party animal, they've got the wrong guy. I'm serious. You know, and I was going to be there for 2 weeks. And so this guy picks me up. He's got a fancy Mercedes. He's driving, and about my age. And we just have, he speaks English very well, and we just have kind of a general da-da-da-da. As he's driving me to Augsburg, very important historical city, which I ended up just loving. We get to his apartment. He and his wife owned an apartment in Augsburg for one purpose, to take care of the graves of her parents who were buried in Augsburg. So they rent this, they go once a month, and they took care of the graves. And that's the kind of wealth he had. So the first night we're there, and I thought, well, I'm going to say something nice to Wolf. And I said, Wolf, I have to commend your English. It is so good. And he said, well, let me tell you how I study English. I read my favorite author. And I thought, well, I'll ask. Who's that? And he said, C.S. Lewis. And when he said that, I almost cried. I said, are you kidding me? He's my favorite author. And so, are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian. And I thought, you rascal, Barry, you think that God sends you places just to make you miserable. And what he's done is he sent you a brother, and that guy is still my friend. And it's just amazing. So I go into this trip, and I'm wondering, what does God have? Ireland is a very spiritually charged place in ancient days. And I want to go to some of those ancient places and do some writing and so on. So pray for me in that. Okay. Yeah. This is the county where we're going to be staying, and I just thought I'd use that as our visual today. County Clare. It's not very attractive, and it's, it's wonderful. I'm going to read today from the NIV. I usually read from the ESV, but I have the NIV for a reason that I'll share with you later. Today we finish what has been a long, long journey that started about 9 months ago, and that's the book of Romans. And I'm both happy and sad. Here's what I hope. And I don't know to what degree this is true at all, but I hope that this walk through Romans has informed you. I hope you know a lot more about the extent of the theological explanations and presentations that take place in this very singular book. This book is loaded. And as we studied it, you have these first 8 chapters, which explains salvation. And salvation is such an important word in our lives, in our hope, in this book. First 8 chapters, you can study them endlessly and be blessed. But then we hit chapter 9, and 9 through 11 are very unusual because they're all about what in the world happened with the Jews. Who are the Jews? Why has this happened to them? And I think it's so interesting because we now look back on the Holocaust. We now look back on the establishment of the State of Israel, and we know some things that have happened with the Jews. But Romans 9 through 11 prepared us for that. It prepared us that this is a unique people that God has set apart, but that they've been stiff-necked. And life has been hard. Life has been hard for them. So we studied 9 through 11, and then we come to 12, and it's as if it becomes a manual now for how to live. We had all this theology in 1 through 8. We have this historical perspective on the Jews, and now it's he urges us to live this life in this way. Now, I said this last week, and I really meant it. You can look at chapter 16, and you can say, well, this is just like a genealogy. And I hope you do. You know why? Genealogies are great. The genealogies in the Bible are rich. And if you go to Matthew, for instance, and you look at the genealogy of Jesus, and if you will pause to say, I don't know who that is, and you will set about finding out who that is, you will find some amazing stories, and you'll discover that our Savior is not the product of antiseptic lives. He's the product of lives just like ours. Lives that need God, lives that need forgiveness, lives that need blessing. And so this chapter is a lot like that, and we're just going to read through it, and wherever I feel the necessity to explain something, I'm going to do that. Right, Brandy? That's right. Yeah, okay. You always do? It's to you I'm speaking, Brandy. When I get back, I expect you to have Matthew memorize the genealogy. And Jesse begat. Who did Jesse beget? Yeah, there you go. And Obed begat. There you go, sister. See? Okay. So, boom. The first part of this we're calling greet. And it's amazing how, if you look at your Bible, the verses beginning with verse 3 through 16 all begin with the word greet. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in Cenchrea. Now, Ben, you know, Ben and Scott always write to me and say, what are you going to be preaching about? Because I want to design music for what you're preaching about. And I told Ben, I said, I feel like Romans 16 is about community. And it really is. And the thing that lifts me up the most about this passage is how the women in this passage are lifted up and embraced. And we need some historical understanding here for us to know that for women to be treated as equals was virtually unheard of in the world. And it's taken a long time, and there's still some work to do there. But here's what you need to understand. There's a lot of kind of ultra-feminism today that hates the church. They need to understand this, that it was the church that really liberated women in so many ways. And these ladies that are doing this study of these seven women in the book by Eric Metaxas that started last Friday, and it's not too late to go next week because they didn't actually talk about the first one this week. They just did the thing that ladies do. It's going to take a long time. I've read this book. And this book is the kind of book that just grabs you and shakes you in a gentle shaking. And I read about this woman, Hannah Moore, of whom I'd never heard. And woe is me that I didn't know about Hannah Moore. That's all I'm going to tell you. I want you to read the book. Because I read that about her and I thought, how can I not know about this woman? And when I read this, I thought, devil, you keep your hands off the people of God. Because one of his tricks is for us to say, men, you can't deal with women. Women, you can't deal with men. And I know there's some wisdom in certain aspects of that, but we are not to live as if we're not brothers and sisters. And just wait till you read about Hannah Moore. What a lady. She was not in the church in Rome. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been a great help to many people, including me. I think it's so wonderful that his whole beginning of, I'm going to tell you, and this is what a lot of people think, these are all the people that Paul knew in Rome. This is like the list of, these are my known associates in Rome, and I'm going to list them all. Now, there's a very good reason for this. He'd never been to Rome. He's on his way to Spain. Remember that? And frankly, probably to Basque country, because there were Roman forts in Basque country. So he's on his way, and he has told us, and he's hinted to the people that just as the Gentiles have been generous with the church in Jerusalem, we need them to be generous with us. I want to go to Spain, and I'm going to need some support. He's raising support. And so he's going to name all of his associations in Rome. Pretty amazing. This is why it's so great to study these things, because I never thought about that before. This becomes his mailing list. Greet these people, because when I get there, I want them to know that I greeted them. That makes them feel appreciated. Wait till you hear who some of these people are. He starts with Phoebe because of his understanding of her depth. She is a deep woman. And she has helped him before. She will help him in the future. Now, you've heard of Priscilla and Aquila. If you didn't even recognize you've heard of them, you've heard of them before. He met them originally in Corinth. Corinthians, of course. And so here he says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them." This is the Hall of Fame, friends, of early Christian courage. And this couple needs to be recognized and lifted up as they have embraced the Jesus story to the point that it becomes that thing which motivates all they do. Greet them for me. I appreciate them. They saved my life. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Fundraising. "Greet my dear friend Epaphroditus, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia." Wow. Think of Asia, friends. Lots of people. Big area. We know who the first Christian was. Did you know that? Probably not, because we don't read this very much, do we? Epaphroditus is his name, and he was the first Christian in Asia. We should get Epaphroditus t-shirts. All right, this next one. "Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you." Now, this was an interesting part of the study. Mary is a name that had been embraced a lot by the Jews. Mary is a name that had been embraced a lot by the Gentiles. We don't know, Jew or Gentile, who this is. But what do we know about Mary? She's a worker. She is the kind of person that Paul respects. And that respect is rich and deep. Now, we do know a little bit more about these next people. "Greet Andronicus and Junius." Now, those are really Greek names. If you know about names, those are Greek names. But we learn something about their heritage here. My relatives. Well, if they're Paul's relatives religiously, what are they? They're Jews. So these are Greek Jews who have been in prison with me. They are Paul's relatives who have embraced what has put Paul in prison because it put them in prison. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. I like when he recognizes that in some ways he's kind of new to this whole business, and that there are people who have walked this walk longer than he has. These are converted Jews. When it says they're outstanding among the apostles, now that's a phrase I studied quite a bit. And Douglas Moo, who's my favorite expositor on Romans, says, "We err if we think this means that they are apostles." What this means is the apostles would say, "These people are outstanding. You can trust these people. These people will do whatever it takes to support the gospel." Now, we get another interesting thing here. "Greet Ampliatus, whom I love in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys." You know who these people are? These people are slaves. These are slaves. And it's presumed that they are slaves who have become free. And that could happen in ancient Rome. A slave could become a freedman. It could happen in America at a time, too. But they had come to Rome as captured and were put into a slavery mode. Interesting. That's who the church is made of. People like that. Greet Apelles, tested and approved in Christ. And when I read that, the word approved jumped out at me. So I studied that. And what this means is Paul knows this person and respects this person. So we're seeing here that in this relationship, this community that is the Roman church, there are some people whom we should respect as well. Because, friends, it was hard. It was underground. It could cost you your life. And if you are called by the apostle to be respected, you should be respected. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Now, how about this one here? Greet Herodian, my relative. You know what his name tells us? And everyone that I studied agreed with this. This Jewish man was from the household of Herod. From the household of Herod. Herod's a wicked guy. All the Herods, Herod Antipas, wicked people. Kings, leaders. And this person comes out of that and into the church. God is sovereign in all these things. And he's saying, oh, by the way, Herodian, that's my relative. Isn't that something? Greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Now, I didn't know this. You wouldn't know this from just reading it. Read about this verse. Learn about this verse, and you will learn, sadly, that Narcissus was a Christian, not the Narcissus of Greek mythology fame or infamy. Narcissus took his own life. His household is still in place. And Paul knows that there is the church at his household. But Narcissus is gone. He took his own life. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa. And Jake, the Jake Lenzer family, Jake's, is he downstairs? Yeah. They're going to have twins. These are the names. Or if you're ever going to have twins, Tryphena, Tryphosa, do it. Those women who work hard in the Lord. Sisters, slaves. These two girls were women, were slaves. Sisters, work hard in the Lord. Isn't that something? Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. You see how the women and the slaves are being lifted up to be co-equal with Herodian, who is from the family of Herod, who is Paul's relative. But do you understand that from the beginning of this book, Paul has taught us, and he taught the Romans, that because of Jesus, there's no longer Jew nor Greek. There's no longer male nor female. We are all one in Christ. And he is showing that right now. Verse 13. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. And I wonder about that. Were these people, and they probably were, who had traveled to Rome and had been previous associates of Paul's? I think they must be, because she had been a mother to him. And it wasn't a day where there was FedEx and you could say, hey, here's a peanut butter sandwich for me. I'm thinking about you. No, you couldn't do that. If anyone wants to send anything to me in Germany, though, you can do that. I just want you to know that. Okay. Okay, we're going to have some names here that you have to be patient with me. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, different than Hermes, and the brothers with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints with them. You see, this is his list of, I'm naming all the people I know, and I want you to tell them that I'm thinking about them. That's what this is, because I'm coming there. And when I come there, I want to be greeted by them as I greet them now, because the mission we're on is about all of us loving each other, bearing each other's burdens, caring for each other's hopes and fears. We need to be a community. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send greetings. About 20 years ago, I can remember this like it was yesterday, I was in Congerville for breakfast at a little restaurant they had there, and I turned north. Now, you know Congerville? Town, two towns away, close to where we live. It's where we went to church before this. I'm driving north, and I see two 30-year-old men approaching each other on the sidewalk, nicely dressed, carefully clipped, and I just see them, and they walk up, and they give each other one of these. Smooch! They kissed. And I thought, what did I just see here? What's happening? It's Congerville. And then I thought, aha, I know what I just saw. I saw the apostolic community. Because apostolic Christians who are in fellowship, meaning they're not in any trouble, they greet each other with a kiss. Did you know that? Go to an apostolic wedding, which I did, and it was a lesson. You're going to see all the kissing you ever imagined, except they're not going to kiss you. And you're not going to see the bride and groom kiss, at least I didn't. But I saw lots of guys and lots of gals. Greet one another with a kiss, and this is also stated in Thessalonians. Now, I certainly don't know what the reason or the history of that is. And maybe some of you do. I mean, I know why the apostolics do it, because they see it in the scriptures and they say we're gonna obey that. But why was that ever established? The only thing I can think of is this. You people need to love each other. Paul is saying we need to love each other. We should not be afraid of each other. We should not be afraid to embrace each other, to be close to each other. And we know this, that in a lot of cultures, especially the Mideast culture, kissing is a common form of greeting. If you really want to see something funny, watch a stiff old American go to that part of the world, and the person greets them and wants to kiss them, and the American's like this. Yeah. But Paul is saying that should be as natural as anything, and you should do that with each other. Okay, so we're kind of done with the greet part. Now he goes into a warning part. And we're just going to kind of sweep through this and focus on a couple things. I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. Now, that's interesting, because as Christians, we're not supposed to be embracing of everyone. We're not to be embracing of false teachers. We're to stay away from them. For such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I am full of joy over you. But I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. So he's saying, hey, you're doing a good job. Stay the course. Don't embrace the nonsense. And was there ever nonsense? If you ever want to study this, see how many false gospels there were floating around. It's over 1,000. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. And you know, for every one of those saints who died in the Lord, that happened. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Now we get some familiarity. Timothy, for whom the books of Timothy are named, my fellow worker, sends his greetings to you, as do Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater. Now, Jason's a very popular name. Why isn't Sosipater a popular name? Come on. Keith and Chelsea, you're, Lord willing, you're going to have kids. Sosipater. Sosipater to Selms. It's great. Here's an interesting thing. I, Tertius, who wrote down this letter, greet you in the Lord. Aha! Now, this letter is beautifully and wonderfully written. It's a masterpiece, literature-wise, of things being done well and right, of parallelism, and just all kinds of devices that good writers use. Well, Tertius was Paul's amanuensis. Amanuensis. That is the term for someone who writes while someone else dictates. Okay? Verse 23. Gaius, whose hospitality I and the whole church here enjoy, sends you his greetings. Now, we don't know too much about him except this. And this is why I have this version, because none of my other Bibles had this information. Gaius, usually identified with Titius Justus, a God-fearer in whose house Paul stayed while in Corinth. His full name would be Gaius Titius Justus, here in Corinth. Now go on here. Erastus, who is the city's director of public works, and our brother Quartus send you their greetings. Listen to this. In my notes, in my NIV. At Corinth, archaeologists have discovered a reused block of stone in a paved square with the Latin inscription Erastus, commissioner of public works, bore the expense of this pavement. Is the Bible true? Does history, does archaeology support what the Bible says? Absolutely. Never be afraid of the truth. Now to him who is able, okay, boom. Greet. Now, we're going to walk through this, and this will be the end. Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past. So, now to him who is able. He's starting out with, I commend you to the sovereign God. And guys, I'm going to be gone for a few weeks, and you are first in my hearts, and I commend you to the sovereign God. I'm so excited about the speaker. These aren't just some buddy we picked up off the streets. These are great speakers, and I want you to be here. Invite your friends. Say, hey, we got somebody better than that other clown, and bring him here. Okay? Yeah, do so. This is good. Because I commend you and I commend them to each other. According to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God. Now, friends, what I just read there, and I read that all on purpose, you can make a list, and we don't have time, but we can make a list of how, in the book of Romans, everything that I just read has been taught. Everything that I just read is a review of what the beginning of the letter talks about. The mystery of the gospel, the sovereignty of God, just all of these things. It's fabulous. By the command of the eternal God. You see, his commending and my commending really doesn't have much to do with me, because we're all the needy people who found bread. We're the hungry who found bread. And none of us is to lord over any of us, because we have a Lord, and he is utterly good. Utterly good. By the command of the eternal God, why? So that all nations might believe and obey him. Friends, here we are again. We're not going to give up on this. We're going to continue to do what we've done, and that is love Basque students. You know why? Because that's a nation of 3 to 4 million people, and they don't really understand Jesus. They don't embrace him. There are old churches, some of them locked. It's not the way it's meant to be, so that all nations might believe and obey him. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Glory forever through Jesus Christ. We're done with the book of Romans. We will come back to the book of Romans. I shouldn't say that we're done. We're going to move on to a different study. But this book of Romans should be something that we now are hungry for. I want more of what that has. I need to reread that. I need to read a book about that. I need to recognize that what we talked about in Romans is so valuable for life today. Do you understand that this book of Romans that we have really slowly walked through, I mean, we did a whole chapter today because it kind of calls for that, but the other chapters don't, that if we need resources to understand the way things really are. Now, most of us live in a cultural realm where we're told the way things are. We're told by lots of different sources the way things are. And none of them, if they're not stating the way that God prepares Paul to tell us the way things really are, none of them are fully accurate. But this is. And I would say there, go back to Romans 1. Go back to Romans 1 and learn this is what the world is like and why God has turned the world over to its own devices. And that's the way it is. And then go to chapter 3 and learn why you are no one to ever say, but I have it all figured out. You know why? Because you don't. Because you are a broken sinner. And then go to chapters 5 and 6 and learn how Jesus is, and it seems so trite to say he's the answer to our problem, but that's what it is. Who will set me free? Chapter 7 says, who will set me free from my slavery to this lower nature? Thank God it's been done for me by Jesus Christ our Lord. We are slaves to sin. Every one of us are slaves to sin. Jesus sets us free from that. So this whole book is an instruction on the way things really are. There's one more slide. And this slide is the word that we use for so be it. So be it. So be it. For the glory of Jesus Christ, amen. Ben, let's sing.